Are you struggling with neuropathy, that painful numbness in your feet, that squishing feeling, those lightning bolts of pain, perhaps in your ankles and other joints and extremities? Hi, this is Marty Terrell for Innovative Wellness Center in Clive, Iowa. Christy Steiger, Innovative Wellness Center. Reach out to Christy and her professional staff if you are struggling with neuropathy like I do. They have turned it around. They haven't reversed it all, but they have attacked it and done it professionally and effectively at a very fair and reasonable price. Avoid the $49 come-on ads in the chiropractic industry. They do not work. And in the end, you'll spend thousands of dollars chasing what is virtually impossible to reverse. Innovative Wellness Center. Elevate your well-being. Give them a call at 515-355-3200. Innovative Wellness Center. At 515-355-3200.
Live from San Francisco on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Let's get it on!
How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Saturday mornings with old Jim Valley, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern, Sundays with Andrew Zeri. And yes, we are here 7 days a week, and I'm going to be here tomorrow, it's looking like. So, rare Friday show for me. But school's out, kids got camps, so time to buckle down. Mike's probably really sad about that. Oh, we'll see what happens. But anyway, it is Thursday on the show. We got a lot to talk about. Last night was AW Dynamite. And the show is over, and we have got, count them, 13 matches announced for Forbidden Door. That includes 3 zero-hour matches. So we'll tell you about the full lineup for that show today. We'll talk about some notes from Dynamite. And I thought it was a pretty good show. So we'll tell you about that. We've also got a bunch of good news. We had a lot of bad news yesterday, but we have obviously congratulations to Rhea Ripley and Buddy Matthews, who have gotten married. If you're wondering why Buddy Matthews was injured on Dynamite, taken out of action, well, now you know. We got some notes on the NXT rating from Tuesday, and of course we're still waiting for the Dynamite rating. I have a lot to talk about tomorrow. I predicted yesterday, and I stand by it. Show's going to do its normal number, whatever that is, mid 700, 770, something like that. I think that's what we're looking at, probably a 0.23, 0.24. But we'll see. The numbers will be out later on this afternoon. And we've also got a bunch of stuff we didn't get a chance to talk about yesterday, including the card for Triple Mania in Mexico City. Why do I bring this up? Well, a former WWE champion is teaming with an AEW star in an amazing match. We'll tell you about that and so much more. Wrestling Observer Live.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time. Time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. That's 800-215-6812.
You hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, Car Shield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call Car Shield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with Car Shield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-425-2317. 800-425-2317. That's 800-425-2317.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
And the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Syrian Softpaws coming up again in the final segment of the show. We're going to talk some fun Big Cat stories. Yesterday it was a pretty sad show, actually. Just talking about his last days. So we want to talk some fun stories here today. And Boom's got some big shows coming up. Unfortunately, I don't think I can make Friday and Saturday. I was hoping I'd be able to go up there, but it's not looking good. But we'll get the word out in case you want to go to Vancouver because these shows are awesome. So last night was Dynamite. And the big question is, how's the show going to do after last week's number? I once again believe that it's going to be normal this week.
What's normal?
Didn't you go over what they were the last 4 weeks? It's like 770.
Do you want me to go through them again here?
If you'd like to.
Okay. Before last week's bottom falling out in the 502,000 and 213,000 in the 18 to 49, 681, 790, 787, and 713.
All right. I think 770, I think, is a safe bet.
I'm saying 740 and 340.
Okay.
There you go. I'll even give you the 18 to 49.
Wow. Well, I want to mention this also very quickly, because I've been having arguments with people. They don't want to.
They want to listen to you?
And you know what? It is. It's just 1 week. So, I mean, this is exact same as talking about that Dynamite number last week. But we got the NXT ratings, and the show did 611,000 viewers and a .18 in 18 to 49.
They heard what you said about Wesley and the main event and all that stuff. Said we're not doing it this week. That's what Brian said.
All I'm gonna say is this: the viewership was down 16%, and 18 to 49 was down 31%. Okay. Now, I'm not saying it's all because all I'm saying is this: I am a big fan of NXT. Okay, I'm a big fan. I've said it before. I'm probably their biggest fan. Okay, but I thought this past Tuesday's show, I liked it. Okay. Last week's show I thought was terrible, and the week before I thought was terrible. And it was mostly terrible because I thought the booking of the Wesley Joe Coffey thing has been stupid, and I think the booking of Javon Evans has been atrocious, okay? So, just want to throw out there, Brandon Thurston's got the quarters up, and the main event of this show, the NXT show, Trick Williams and Sean Spears, They're the lowest two quarters of the show. And I don't know if you guys have been following the quarters, but Trick always gains viewers. Like, yeah. Trick does good numbers. Trick and Sean Spears did the lowest number on the show, including the overrun. And you can't say, well, you know, it's the end of the show because, you know, on Brandon's chart, he's got what the average is. And that main event was below average. It was below average. And the other segment on the show that actually lost a lot of viewers was the end of Wes Lee versus Joe Coffey in the post-match. Literally the exact two things that I thought have been booked so poorly over the last 2 weeks did poorly. I'm not saying I'm always right, anything like that. I'm just pointing out that I don't think I'm in the minority here thinking that this is stupid, because you can look at the quarters and you can see that those two segments were a turnoff to viewers after the booking the last several weeks. Maybe that'll turn around next week. I don't know. Like I said, I thought this week's show was a big improvement. I wasn't even mad that they beat Trick Williams in the main event. After seeing these numbers, my guess is probably was a stupid thing to do, but...
Oh, will you stop? And you know what? Somebody who's probably been saying that for a couple of days now, but the fact of the matter is they got a little bit of scorched earth, and sometimes that has to happen before you can grow things again. Sean Spears can be blamed for that because there is no record of Trick Williams ever driving anything down. It is usually the opposite, like Brian said. With that said, what have I been saying for a while now? They have no main eventers. They have no main event scene there. Regardless of what you think about Paige or Javon Evans or Sean Spears being main eventers, they needed a quote-unquote scene to put these guys in. Do I think this Coffey Wesley thing got dragged out too long? Yes, I do. Yes, I absolutely do. And I like Joe Coffey a hell of a lot more than you like Joe Coffey. But with that,
I don't have
said,
a problem with Joe Coffey.
I know. I know you. His work is fine and all that stuff. You think he's adequate, but it's not what Wesley should be doing, and he was a roadblock for too long. I agree with you on that. It has not been perfect that way, but they did get to where they needed to get to and filled, I guess, some TV time doing it. With the main event scene, everything is going to work itself out fine, and I think Trick Williams is going to draw ratings against Sean Spears, or not against Sean Spears, but against whoever it is moving forward. Certainly teaming with Javon Evans, too, because that's been part of this. You know, I don't want need to see a title match between those two just yet, but I do like to see them align together because it gives Trick Williams some help, which Noam Dar could have been before he got hurt. And it also raises up Javon Evans to a level of being with these main eventers. I think that's good.
Well, I think the other thing that's important is if you want main eventers, like, you've got to build people up to be main eventers. And I know that people think I hate Sean Spears or whatever, but it's not that at all. Sean Spears has done nothing in NXT. Nothing. And suddenly he's inserted into a main event scene. And Ethan Page, he came from AEW, but, you know,
he should have.
Well, he can.
But he should have. They're not loaded down with enough people where he shouldn't have walked in and right into the title picture, right into the main event. I mean, more so than a Brian Pillman Jr. or a Sean Spears did. And, yeah, they should have given Spears some big wins and had a better plan for him. But that's obviously not the case.
Well, even with Ethan Page, it's like, okay, Ethan Page walked into the main event scene, fine. His very first match, he was beaten by Trick Williams. And they just put him right back in the main event scene. And it's like, well, we already saw him lose to Trick.
Don't you understand
We've
the whole Apex show was a trial
Spears
for everything?
Spears do nothing. I mean,
a trial for everything,
anyway,
Brian.
So here's the lineup for Forbidden Door, because we now have 13 matches for this
show.
We have
enough time in this segment for this.
Yes, we do, because I'm just going to say words. And then we'll talk about him later.
It's Caliber style.
Swerve Strickland. I can't go that fast. Swerve Strickland versus Will Ospreay for the AEW title. We've got Takeshita, Mark Briscoe, Jack Perry, Leo Rush, Dante Martin, and a final man who will be announced by the Elite. Isn't that right? Is that this match?
No, that's the...
I'm dying. Anyway, there's a TBA for the ladder match for the TNT title.
Maybe they are. Who knows?
Mercedes versus Stephanie Vaquer. That, by the way, is telling. Mercedes Moné versus Stephanie Vaquer for the New Japan Strong Women's title and the TBS title. Toni Storm versus Mina Shirakawa for the AEW Women's title and the heart of Mariah May. Jon Moxley versus Naito for the world title, IWGP world title. Bryan Danielson versus Shingo in an Owen Hart Foundation men's quarterfinal match. MJF versus Hechicero. Zack Sabre Jr. versus Orange Cassidy. The Elite, Okada and the Young Bucks versus Tanahashi and the Acclaimed. And then I don't know what the hell's going on here, but Jericho, Big Bill, and TBA against Samoa Joe, Hook, and Shibata. But Jericho has also been challenged by Suzuki for the FTW title, but that's not announced yet, and I don't think he's working twice, so I don't know what's going on. Statlander and Momo Watanabe versus Willow Nightingale and Tam Nakano. Owen Hart Foundation quarterfinals, Saraya and Mariah May. Mystico and the Lucha Bros versus Titan Yoda Tsuji and Hiromu Takahashi.
How can Mariah May be ready? Have you ever held a decent champagne bottle before? You can kill somebody with that.
She'll certainly be the underdog babyface, won't she?
Oh, my Lord.
Since she's the underdog babyface in this program. So that is the lineup, and we can talk a little bit about the Dynamite show when we come back from the break. So a lot to get into here today. Stick around. Back in a moment, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-378-3508. 800-378-3508. That's 800-378-3508. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D. Gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Do you know that August 17th for Triple Mania, the main event, is a triple threat match for the AAA Tag Team titles? Dr. Wagner Jr. and Galeno Del Mal versus Psycho Clown and Negro Casas versus Jinder Mahal and Satnam Singh.
Get out of here.
Nope, that's the main event.
Oh my God.
Jinder Mahal and Satnam Singh for the AAA Tag Team titles.
Oh my.
Yes.
Oh my.
Yeah. Well, that's that.
Do you think that actually ends up coming off as scheduled?
I don't know why not. Jeff Jarrett's managing him. He'll get him.
I know, but it's AAA.
Yeah.
I know Jeff Jarrett will show up there. I wonder how Filthy's feeling about Jeff Jarrett right about now.
Mm. Well, I wish the best to Jim Ross, who hospitalized once again for breathing difficulties. He wrote, another trip to the ER, difficulty breathing, likely an overnight stay. I'll be okay. Let's fight. So best wishes to him. Dijak is a free agent.
It's insane.
Revealed his WWE contract set to expire. The company has informed him it will not be renewed. Every now and then there's one of these where it's like, you couldn't figure out what to do with Dijak?
Mm. Really? Really?
Maybe you could have started by not giving him so many stupid gimmicks.
Even if you did, who cares? The guy did everything. He carried the ball, everything you handed him. He went with it to the best of his ability, and he's a huge guy that has worked his whole career with smaller guys, right down to, who was it? Did he face Leo Rush in the ROH Futures Tournament that they used to have? I mean, he's used to working with smaller guys and younger guys where I can't believe you couldn't find a role for this guy somewhere, even if it was back down in NXT, playing a big badass.
He was there.
Surprised.
He was there.
I know, but then he went up to the Raw roster, and it's like, if you're not going to do anything with him there of value, then put him back down in NXT and let him do something there and be a big guy.
Well, I think the issue was he was officially called up a while ago. Remember when he was, who was he? He was, what, he had the
T-bar?
Mask on?
T-Bar.
T-Bar. That's
yes.
Right. Well, once they called him up, he was making main roster money. Then they're sending him to NXT, and he's making main roster money for NXT.
And he can train, okay? Add some stuff in it that way where he can be a benefit to you. Look, I don't know if he goes to AEW. I'm sure AEW would want to talk to him. I'm sure he's got a lot of friends there, and people see his talent.
He can definitely have bangers.
But I swear, look, if TNA is going to come off any money right now, this is actually the guy you want to come off the money to, because you have no threats to Moose. You have such a thin, limited roster where I'm sure he would rather be in AEW. But if I'm TNA, you got to reach out to this guy, because he is one person that's out there that can really, really be of value to you.
Tony Khan had a media call. Sounds like not a lot was said.
Is there ever?
He was asked about Dijak and Becky. Said he will not negotiate on a media call. But, you know, he thinks they're both great wrestlers. Movement between groups has been great for both fans and the business.
Hmm.
Talked about injuries. He claimed the injury thing again. Britt Baker's been out with an injury. Could be returning soon.
Hmm. How long has she been ready to go for?
I think
possibly, maybe.
I think probably quite a while. Yeah. Mentioned Kenny Omega, Adam Cole, and Jamie Hayter, who he's excited to get back, bring the company to full strength. Sunday's live gate approaching 1,010,000 tickets sold. It'll be the third time in the event's young history it's hit that financial mark. And then
that's good no matter how you cut it.
He said he made some football analogies, it says here.
Oh, boy, I want you to repeat those.
Saying they're in the red zone to making their new media rights deal.
Oh, yeah.
That means at any moment, there could be a touchdown.
Or
a fumble.
Or, like the Seahawks know, you could hand it to Marshawn Lynch, but no, pass it and instead get it picked off.
Oh, would you stop?
Right at the goal line.
You realize that was 10 years ago?
Oh, I know.
Come on.
My stepfather, a big Seattle Seahawks fan, still has pain.
I'm not actually your stepfather, but.
No. You're looking like it these days.
I always love when you tell me that.
What?
Let's talk about this Dynamite show. I thought it was a pretty good show, actually. But, I mean, I think the one thing, like, it's funny because you watch every segment self-contained is like a good segment. But, I mean, you look at, like, the overall thing.
There's a lot of show.
And it's like, my God, we've got two Owen Hart Cup tournaments going on at the same time. Mm-hmm. We've got qualifying matches for Forbidden Door. Mm-hmm. We've got...
A lot of champions.
Yeah, we got a lot of champions, that's true. But, like, we're trying to figure out who's going to be in whose match. There's TBAs everywhere. There's mystery opponents.
The thing for a lot of people out there, and I know AEW fans will say, oh, this isn't true. Look, you know who a lot of these folks are, too. But for a lot... Look, did they even, like, point out that Gabe Kidd was losing his mind on the apron? I don't even think they mentioned
his
name.
They did not.
Did they?
No.
It's a lot.
Yes, this is, I mean, I get that it's Forbidden Door season, so like a lot of forbidden talent ends up on the show.
Forbidden
but there's
talent.
Like so much of it. Like, they had that segment at the end, or it wasn't at the end.
They can all
do
the Forbidden Dance one day.
It was one where Naito came out with Moxley, and there's like 35 people in the ring.
Oh, yeah.
And they all just stood there for a while and looked at each other. So MJF did a promo.
Do you think that Naito entrance, like, did any favors? And I get it, if you know who he is and all that stuff, like, yeah, that's what he does. But do you think that that was the right time? I know he can't move too fast, but maybe he should have charged down to the ring.
I'm pretty sure the presumption is everybody knows these guys, so just, like, let them go out and do their gimmicks.
I guess. Go ahead.
Well, I don't have time to really... Paul Fontaine and I are going to recap this tonight. Vinny's out. But very quickly, MJF did a promo. He offered a match to Daniel Garcia at Wembley. And then out came Will Ospreay to one-up MJF and offer Daniel a shot at the World and whatever other title he's got. International?
Continental?
What is it? What is it? It's international.
International. Okada's got the Continental.
So he comes out and they make that match and... I think at the end of the day, everybody, it is going to be Will Ospreay MJF at Wembley. But we'll see how Daniel Garcia ties into this after he is defeated next week on this show. We had Jon Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, and Wheeler Yuta versus Shingo, Hiromu, and Titan, which ended in a DQ when Moxley hit Hiromu with a chair. And I've said before, like, a DQ every now and then, I don't care, it doesn't bother me. But it was funny because... Of all the matches, Titan isn't even on Forbidden Door.
No.
He's not even on the show. You couldn't pin Titan? No, they could not. They had to protect Titan and everyone else in this match. And then we had the big brawl, and we had Naito and Shingo and Danielson staring him down and the whole nine yards. I thought the match was great. I really liked the match. Jay White and Phoenix, I thought was a very good match. Probably had the best match they could have together, but it was very good. Jay White won with the Blade Runner. He's in the semifinals and then got Christian and the Patriarchy staring them down. A heel versus heel program for the Trios titles. Matt and Nick have vowed that they have a wild card in the Owen tournament. The Owen tournament. We'll find out who that's going to be. A lot of people think Hangman. I've already given my thoughts on why I don't think it should be Hangman. Acclaimed came out, and that's when they set up the Tanahashi teaming with the Acclaimed, replacing Billy Gunn against Okada and the Bucks. We had Toni Storm, Mariah May, and Mina Shirakawa beating Anna Jay, Saraya, and Harley Cameron. And the story here is Mina hits the Mina driver, and, you know, Mina and Toni have been fighting over Mariah the entire time. Mariah's stuck in the middle. So she ends up getting the champagne. She gives the drink to Toni and Mina. They toast, they drink, and then Toni goes to dance with Mariah by herself. And so Mina tries to hit Toni with the champagne bottle, but she misses and she hits Mariah May. So Mariah May is KO'd, and it looks like she's going into her Owen match injured.
I hope they do a full soap opera thing where, oh my God, she's lost her memory now. Poor Mariah May.
Actually, you could do that.
Oh, yeah.
We had a bizarre segment with the Learning Tree we talked about a little bit earlier. I'm still not sure what's going on with Jericho and Minoru Suzuki. Hasn't been made clear. Kyle O'Reilly, Zack Sabre with Orange Cassidy on commentary. This was where Zack gets the win. And then we've got Orange, The Kingdom, Zack, TMDK, Ishii. They all come down, and they all look at each other for a long time. Nobody does anything. And then they hit the music.
As Gabe Kidd jumps up and down on the apron.
Yes. Didn't mention him, but he was there. Will Ospreay and Swerve versus Gates of Agony. I mean, it was a good match. The story was that Will and Swerve, like, sometimes they could work together. Sometimes they had problems. Obviously, they got the big win. It still was never actually explained why Will Ospreay and Swerve were booked as a tag team together. It's just like, in storyline, the Tony Khan character is a maniac.
Is that the
and he'll just do whatever that he wants
Parejas?
To just cause chaos. And so they get the big win, and the finish is, you know, at one point, and now they've confused everybody, because Ospreay sets up for what apparently this time actually was the Tiger Driver, but Excalibur had learned his lesson, so he says he's setting up for the Stormbreaker, but then Ospreay pauses because he was setting up for the Tiger Driver, but he couldn't bring himself to do it. Well, but then Swerve snaps the arm. He stomps on Toa's arm. And Ospreay is shocked.
He recoils, as Excalibur said.
It's the hidden blade for the pin. So the story here is that Ospreay is very deeply concerned about hurting anybody, and Swerve does not care.
In pro wrestling. And, hey, Brian, check this out. The Lucha Bros are going to team up with Místico for the first time against Yota Tsuji, Hiromu Takahashi, and Titan. Titan has made it to the
show. That's why we had to protect Titan.
There we go.
Yeah. And then afterwards, Swerve just murdered this guy with the house call. It was brutal. Back in a moment. Got a lot to talk about here today. Special guest, Sarian Softpaws, Wrestling Observer Live.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
This report is sponsored by After School Alliance. A million people are rallying for after school as part of the 24th annual Lights On After School, organized by the After School Alliance. The event shines a light on the many ways after school programs engage children and youth by making learning fun and providing educational and enriching activities. After school programs are especially important as students recover from the pandemic, but funding shortfalls have left nearly 25 million kids without the after school programs their parents want for them. Quality after school programs keep kids safe, inspire them to learn, and give parents peace of mind. Alliance Executive Director, Jody Grant.
Every day, after-school programs across our country help students discover their talents, build their confidence, and foster their creativity through enrichment and academic supports. As we continue to recover from the pandemic, it's essential that many more students and families have access to these programs. This year, 8,000 Lights On after-school events will focus on the benefits after-school programs provide.
Visit www.afterschoolalliance.org to learn more about Lights On After School.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the Pharmacy Shop.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Joined once again, Sarian Softpaws here is joining us here today. Sarian, how you doing?
All right, guys. Thanks for having me back. I really appreciate it.
So yesterday we left off. We're here talking about the big cat, Scott Hansen, who passed away. It was about 2 weeks ago now, I think it was.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah. And we were talking about you guys. And, you know, you'd mentioned that I had talked to him at the Boom Show. And, you know, we'd only actually met twice in my life. Once at that show and then once at Bola.
Yeah.
The 2006 Bola.
Yep.
And when he mentioned it to me, he was young. And I feel really old. And so, like, I thought, you know, he must have been there as a fan. And then later, he got into the bit. Like, in my mind, he got into the business in, like, 2010 or 2012 or something like that. And then come on yesterday, and you're telling me that he'd been wrestling since he was 18. Like, 2002. Like, that is a long career. And so, were you there for that show as well or no?
No, I wasn't, no.
Okay.
We went to Bola in 2015, and that was my first one.
So what did he, I mean, how many shows, did he travel around and go to a lot of shows? Or what was it, why was he there for that Bola show?
I don't know, I think like the major wrestling shows in Vancouver are so like far between each other that if you want to see like really good wrestling, Los Angeles is not that far. And we'd always just been PWG fans. And yeah, like the group of my friends, not including me, drove down in a van like 33 hours straight to get there.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he went to quite a few shows. He did a couple AEW shows in Chicago. He was at WrestleMania in Seattle. He went around when he could.
So you, I'm sure, remember, you guys broke in what, 2002, I think you said?
His first pro match was 2003 in Cloverdale.
Oh,
and
my God.
First match was like 2005. I'm a little bit younger, and so I started right after high school.
Was it the Cloverdale Fairgrounds?
It was.
My God. I can't believe we only met twice. Like, it's actually inconceivable. We lived in the same area. We wrestled in the same area. But did he work for ECCW?
He did. Yeah, he did a little bit of ECCW.
Okay, that's probably the problem. Tim and Star did not get along at all. So yeah, I never true. Worked
yeah,
one.
He trained by All-Star, and then he went to ECCW and then stopped working All-Star. So
yeah, I never worked one ECCW show because Tim would have probably found me and killed me. So it just didn't happen. So like there were a lot of people. Like I never like ran into Kyle O'Reilly or guys like that or
El Phantasmo.
Yeah. Well actually I did. I worked on a show with Phantasmo. We worked at the Pacific Rim, which is in Tulalip, Washington. And I didn't even know until years later because I had gone to one of the New Japan shows like the Temple Theater. And I ran into him, and he goes, "Do you remember we used to work together at the Pacific Rim?" And I was like, "What?" Because like he was a big New Japan star. I was like,
yeah.
"You worked those shows at the Pacific Rim?" For those of you that don't know the Pacific Rim, it was like a Denny's. I mean, it was like a little diner, and they would set up this ring, and there's like 30 people there, and it was just amazing. But you know, the other thing I wanted to talk about was obviously Fabio, because you know I did the Portland Wrestling reboot, and they did a storyline where I had a valet, Miss Rent-A-Own, and I had a match with Fabio, Fabulous Fabio, and he pinned me, and then she left with him. And we put the video up during the commercial breaks, like everybody watching this right now on Twitch or YouTube, they may not know it, but that's Fabio that was in that match. And he trained you guys?
Yeah. He trained Scott and Daniel McCabe and a couple of our other friends, and then I sort of got in after that, and I would say like I learned on the job with them. But
sure.
Yeah, he trained those two, and they had a lot of stories about him. I mean, I wasn't really there for any of them, but like they talked about him quite a bit.
Well, so, what kind of character was he from both of your points of view? Yeah. One as a trainer, but also, Brian, as a traveling companion, a co-worker at these shows, what was he like to deal with? And can you believe he became a trainer?
Well, before you answer this, my presumption is that he was exactly the same out of character as he was in character. Am I wrong about that?
100%. 100%.
And what kind of character was he?
My interactions with him were actually pretty limited, but what I'd heard from Scott was, I mean, when he trained them, he didn't really get in the ring. He just watched them do it.
Sure.
So he wasn't showing them really anything. He was just sort of critiquing what they were doing. And, a lot of people don't know how to turn the gimmick off. And I feel like he just never turned the gimmick off. I don't know if that's just like the old school mentality of him, but of his generation. But yeah, he was always just on; like he never turned it off.
So did he smarten him up like immediately, or what?
I'm not really sure. Like they weren't there that long. I feel like they only trained there for maybe 6 months, and then they started working. They did a little bit of ECCW, and I think that kind of killed their training. Like they weren't allowed to do anything anymore, I don't think.
The first person I ever trained with was a guy named Ole Olsen, and he had a ring in his backyard. And he didn't, I knew everything about wrestling. Like I'd done backyard wrestling and everything like that. I knew what it was. But like he was determined to convince me that it was a shoot. But he wasn't doing like actual amateur wrestling. He was trying to show me like a headlock into a hammerlock like it was real. It was just so bizarre. And I did that for a little while and then got out, but So you learned on the job, you said.
Sure, that's what I think. Like, I never really had any formal training. I just learned from Scott and from Daniel McCabe and a couple other people who had been trained. And when I started, like I said, we were backyarders at first in a ring in a backyard in Surrey. And I just sort of learned from them. And then here we are like 20 years later and I've been wrestling this whole time. So
did you do the backyard with a ring before you guys formally trained?
I did, yes. Scott and had done in ring training, but I started in a ring in a backyard.
Okay, so basically they trained you.
Yeah.
Okay. And then at that point I'm sure it's just like learning on the fly.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a lot of like seeing things on tape or TV or whatever, and then saying like, how do I learn how to do this? And then, you know, for the most part, because Scott was such a like huge mark for the tapes and like watching Japan and everything, that like he would sort of know how to do stuff, and we would just kind of like feel it out in the ring. I feel like was a lot of the early stuff. And then, I mean, I'd gone to a couple of training sessions later, like once I'd already been wrestling for 10 years, I'd done a couple of seminars with like professional wrestlers and learned some stuff there. But yeah, it was just a lot of figuring it out as we went and trying not to kill each other.
What was some of the stuff that you loved on tape that you guys would watch and go, yeah, you know what, that's what I like?
Oh, I mean, anything like 90s All Japan was kind of like our go-to. That kind of like, you know, the strong style, the hard hitting, like, and just like go, 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 but building to like a big climactic finish was always like a big thing. Like, in for us, there's a match. I mean, I don't know the details because it's been a while, but the match is 10-8, 1990 something. And it's like, it's a big, big tag match that has a waterfall in it. But we never referred to waterfalls as waterfalls. We just referred to them as 10-8s because of that match. But it was a lot of that. And then we got really into like the 2012 to 2016 New Japan. Like, we never missed a show. We watched every single thing we could. We like modeled our wrestling style after. I mean, Scott was a huge Tomohiro Ishii fan. He's his guy, and he would just like anything Ishii did, he would try to like recreate it or like change it for himself. But I mean, we also grew up in the WWF era and WCW. Like, we've literally watched everything, Lucha and random European stuff. Like, it was, wrestling was all that Scott consumed. Like, he just loved everything about it.
Well, I gotta ask you, and I'm sorry, Brian, but yep, it's like, it's the big jaguar in the room, okay? At what point were you guys bitten by radioactive cats and became this collection of fur people, the Fur Horsemen. How did this whole thing come about where that became Scott? Was it Scott's deal first, or how did you?
Yeah, how did the big cat? How did the big cat get birthed?
He was wrestling under the name of Jimmy James, which is a news radio reference. And he did that for a couple years, just regular guy wearing a Hawaiian shirt. And then one day he showed up and he had tiger print pants. And we just thought it was his new gear. And then that evolved to tail, which evolved to gauntlets with paw pads on them, which then evolved to boots with feet on them. And I mean, Scott was very into a furry fandom. He was kind of in that group of people as well as wrestling, and he just leaned hard into that, and he started doing that in maybe like 2006 or 2007, and then it just evolved.
I mean, did he ever tell you where he came up with his idea? I mean, you say he just showed up one day where you're like, okay, you're a cat now, and like just moved on with your lives? Or
yeah, he never said anything about it in advance. Like, he didn't say I'm gonna start wrestling as a cat. He just showed up, put
started
on his
eating Cheetos,
and they were,
you know,
tiger. We're like, okay. Like, we're like, that's just a thing that you're wearing now. And but then when he got the tail, and we were like, oh, this is going to be your character now. And he's like, yeah, this is just what I'm doing forever. And he never looked back. He never wrestled without having a tail on for 14 years, 15 years. So, yeah, but yeah, he was because he was part of the, like, you know, with furry fandom and everything. And that's like a big thing. He just wanted to do that. And he just thought it was unique and nobody was really doing it. I mean, there are some Joshy girls who have tails, or, you know, some other characters over the course of wrestling that have had
Solo
it. But like,
Darling, I think, had one, didn't she?
Who?
Solo Darling.
Solo Darling had one. Yeah, Solo was the first wrestler that I think we saw that had one. And we were like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then I think that was maybe where he got the idea for the tail from. I'm not sure. And then, of course, like, El Torito had a little tail, and we thought that was pretty funny. So we were like, we should just get tails. But, like, I was just a regular wrestler. I wasn't a cat. I wasn't involved in furries or anything. I was just a guy. And then Scott was getting really popular, and I was kind of floundering. And we'd been making the joke of Fur Horsemen for years, because we would sarcastically say Four Horsemen, more like Fur Horsemen, and then get a little chuckle. But, you know, Scott had a partner who was a werewolf, and Scott was a tiger man, and I decided to join them, and just kind of, it seemed like fun, and when we were coming up with a team name, we decided Fur Horsemen was the way to go. But the team name is actually the Fur Horsemen, and then in brackets, it says, except none of us are horses. But that was too big to put on.
It's kind of hard to put that on a marquee.
Yeah,
when the plane flies over with the banner, it's a lot of words.
Yeah, but that was the actual joke, and then we just stuck with the Fur Horsemen. And there was Fur and Loathing as well, which, I mean, when you're in the furry kind of wrestler, you're two cats, everything's puns.
I like that the joke wasn't just the Fur Horsemen. There was a joke in addition to the Fur Horsemen. Yeah. The Fur Horsemen is the serious part of this.
There's layers to this stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So was it kind of like, I mean, personally, did you sort of feel like an Orange Cassidy where, you know, he had a gimmick for a long time and then all of a sudden he came up with this just off the wall deal and was, now it's like unique and super over and it's the most fun he's ever had. And is that essentially how it was, becoming a cat?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was just something different. I mean, wrestling always evolves and changes. And I think he wanted to do something that was just not only fun to him, but something we'd never really seen. You know, like, there were a couple of people wrestling in mascot costumes in Chikara, which was really funny to us. But then nobody was really doing, like, a fully committed half-human, half-animal. And so we had just kind of thought, if you want to get yourself kind of popular and have eyes on you, it's good to pick something that's a little bit different than no one's done. But I mean, not to take away from Scott's wrestling ability, because, like, Scott was an amazing wrestler.
Well, yeah, hold that thought right there. We gotta jump to a break. Back in just a moment, Observer Live.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history.
And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands. Guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039. Paid for by the Tax Helpline.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family. Take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99 and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. That's 800-292-6156.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Syrian Softpaws joining us today. And let's get some plugs in for, I know there's a lot of tribute shows coming up, and what have you got going on, social media, etc.?
Yeah, so in Vancouver, BC, there's Boom Pro Wrestling on Friday this week, 28th and the 29th. I believe there's a little bit of tickets left. Then there'll be SOS Pro Wrestling in Tacoma at Edison Square. It'll be the first or second weekend of July. We'll run a show there and put together something. We're still kind of talking about it. And then, yeah, I mean, if anybody wants to just see Scott's matches, both the SOS YouTube channel, SOS Pro Wrestling, and the Boom Instagram page have all put up all of his matches for free for anybody to watch. So if you want to go check out what he did and see him, then that's the best way to do it. Yeah, I mean, Syrian Softpaws on social medias for me, across the board. Also just want to like quick shout out to Max at Boom and Drew at SOS and Chris and Dave at WAC and just everybody that like put him on shows and treated him great and let him showcase to the world just like what an amazing performer he was, an amazing wrestler he was. Like he loved wrestling so much, and I just want to thank everybody that put him out there.
Well, thank you so much for doing this show, and all the best to you, his friends and family. And we've got to go, everybody. Thanks for listening, Wrestling Observer Live.